John Burnett, who joins us from his base in Austin, Texas. And John, were you able to get a handle in your reporting for this series on how widespread a practice this asset forfeiture abuse is?
Melissa, in the 9 months that I spent tracking this, I found there's really very little paper trail here. There's not a lot of reporting on asset forfeiture abuse like there was in the 1990s when it was higher profile leading up to the federal reforms. It's difficult to find the cases in which people say that they had cash effectively robbed from them by officers in highway stops because there's so few challenges to these forfeiture cases. Lawyers would say because it's very difficult to challenge and it's expensive, and the police say they're not challenged because people are guilty. It's difficult to find out how extensive it is, but we know it's happening.
You mentioned you interviewed 90 people for this series. Among those people, who seems to be the most concerned about the abuses?
This was really interesting because I expected that it was going to be the sort of the legalized drugs crowd and those, you know, who usually criticize the drug war. But I found that my most passionate sources were law enforcement, senior law enforcement people who had a sense that the system is being abused. And unless it's cleaned up, there are going to be new laws that take the seized drug money away from them altogether. I can't tell you how many interviews I did when, after the microphone was off, you would get a police chief who would say, man, we know that, you know, this sheriff in a neighboring county is doing this, and I've heard these stories, and they've set up a forfeiture trap, and if they don't stop, they're going to ruin it for everybody.
So given that interest in cleaning things up, are there any efforts in that direction?
There have been some very mixed efforts to try to tighten up the forfeiture abuses, in particular to take money away from law enforcement so that there's not a financial incentive in policing. In Missouri and in Utah, they both tried to send money from law enforcement into education funds, and there was enormous resistance to that. In Texas, they tried to take money away from the district attorneys and give it to a part of it to the drug courts. And again, there was enormous resistance, and that attempt died. As one top DEA official in Washington told me, once they drink from that chalice, they get used to it.
Okay, John, thanks very much.
My pleasure, Melissa.
That's NPR's John Burnett. And you can find all four parts of his series on Dirty Money at npr.org.